I need to ask a quick favor of you. As a lot of y'all know, at the top of next year, I have a book entitled Theologizing Bigger dropping. In anticipation of that book, I have to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to launch that book successfully when the time comes. And one of the ways I'm doing that is by rolling some things out through my newsletter. Now, if you could subscribe to my newsletter, that would be a huge help for me. And it won't cost you a thing unless you really want to support, and there's an option to do that too. You can do that at pastortrey05.substack.com. Once again, that's pastortrey05.substack.com. And as an added bonus, you might even like some of the stuff you see being posted over there. So if you're not a hater, go ahead and sign up for that. Invite a friend to do it, and we're going to have us a mighty good time. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is bona fide Bible talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. One thing I'm not going to do is lie to you. I am tired. I'm that type of tired that sneak up on you. Like you ain't even realize how overwhelmed or just generally fatigued you were. Until one moment you look up and you realize you tired. Like you so drained you can't even put the R in tired. You not tired, you tired. T-I-E-D, you tired. That's where I'm at right now. And not even in the bad way, the woe is me sort of way. I'm tired because life just be happening. And for some reason, the end of the year always happens mad rapidly. Like one moment you look up and it's Labor Day and then you blink and you supposed to be Christmas shopping. I don't know when that happened. I could have sworn I just dropped one of these episodes yesterday and dang, it's time for me to put out another one. It caught me off guard. I ain't gonna lie to you. So as I sit there reflecting on how tired I am and all of the obligations that I am blessed to carry out, I was struggling with what this episode was going to be. If I were to give you a little peek behind the curtain, I actually stress a little bit more about these episodes than I do a full-out sermon on Sunday mornings. You see, I don't take either of these obligations, either of these tasks particularly lightly. There's a bunch of study, a bunch of preparation, a bunch of reflection, a bunch of artistry, and a little bit of license that goes into a Sunday morning sermon and a 15-minute episode of the New Living Translation. But the reason I stress about these in particular is because I am actively taking the Bible, regarded by many as the Word of God, and I'm representing it in a way that acknowledges my starting point, my vernacular, the language that I speak on a regular basis as a valid way to communicate the things of God. And I carry that as a serious task, as a weighty endeavor. I don't approach that lightly. And so I get anxious about that. And when I'm tired, that anxiety ain't necessarily the best thing for me. But this past Sunday, I had an opportunity to preach on a topic that is very near and dear to me. For a whole month of Sundays in October, my church talked about rest as a spiritual practice, not only a practice of self-care, but an actual command from God. And this past Sunday, I got a chance to talk about rest as not only the practice, but the preview of God's salvific promise. You see, a lot in the Bible about this concept of rest, not only as a thing that God does after looking back on all of creation after the first 6 days, resting on the seventh day and declaring it holy. We see not only rest being the thing that Jesus invites us into, we see rest in all sorts of places. We see rest as a command given to the Hebrews that on every seventh day they should set it apart for rest. Every seventh year should be set apart for rest. And then every seven set of 7 years is a year of Jubilee. Rest is this rhythmic thing that they partake in. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I started getting excited about this idea of rest. Not only is something that we do every once in a while, but the thing that we're preparing to do for eternity. That got me excited. But then there was still the matter of this podcast. What do I do for the New Living Translation? And I thought, what if I could bring that same text that I used for that sermon to this podcast? And then I remembered that I've already used the 23rd Psalm. And then I said, so what? They knew it the first time I did it, and they'll know it the second time I do it. And so I'm going to return to the 23rd Psalm for this episode of the New Living Translation. Let's get into it. God is my shepherd. I got everything that I need. God gives me rest in places that are good for my soul. Lush pastures and calm waters. God fixes my worn down and weary parts, making me whole again. Because God is holy, everywhere I'm led embodies justice, showing me true righteousness. Even though I end up in places that look like hell, the darkest places imaginable, I ain't never scared. Because God is with me, comforting me with tools of correction and direction. Even in the presence of forces working against me, God gives me more than what I need. Because I'm beloved. Because God chooses me. I'm more blessed than I can describe. I'll never be able to escape God's goodness. I'll never be able to outrun God's love for me. So I'ma always live in God's house. Psalm chapter 23, the New Living Translation. Question for you. What would it look like if we took the reality of rest seriously? What would that say about us? What would that say about our faith? Let me give you an example of what it looks like when we don't take the reality of rest seriously. When we are simply trying to do too much. On October the 7th of 2023, an undefeated 17th ranked University of Miami Hurricanes football team played a very overmatched Georgia Tech squad. They weren't good. They got blown out by a team that's basically in a whole nother division, like beneath them. It's a game that the Miami Hurricanes should have handled pretty easily, but they didn't. Instead, they found themselves in a dogfight with this team, but still in a position to win. They were up 20-17 with 40 seconds left on the clock. Now, if you are familiar with the sport of football, you know that when you are up with that little time left on the clock, especially if the other team doesn't have any timeouts, which was the case with Georgia Tech in this instance, you can get into what is known as victory formation. You snap the ball, the quarterback takes a knee, the play is blown dead, the clock keeps running. You can end the game without doing anything, without running any plays. You don't have to do anything because you already have what you need to win the game. The game is in effect already over. You just have to let the clock run out. If you know how to rest in what has already been done, what has already been accomplished, you can end up okay, even if you don't perform the best during the game. You could do all that, but that's not what happened in this particular instance. And what has gone viral in football circles is one of the stupidest coaching decisions of all time. The Miami Hurricanes actually run a play. They fumble the ball. The other team gets the ball back with like 20-something seconds left on the clock, drives 70-plus yards down the field, and wins the game. When you do not take the reality of rest seriously, you can put yourself in a position to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. What should have ended up with you celebrating, what should have ended up with you chilling and looking back on what you made it through, now ends up with you chewing on a big fat L. Because sometimes we be trying to do too much. Sometimes we don't have to do anything but chill. Sometimes we don't have to do anything but take a knee, cop a squat, lay down, go sit down somewhere. If you don't take the reality of rest seriously, you can put yourself behind the eight ball. At the heart of rest is the idea that everything will be okay. Rest is an act of faith in the finished work of God. Rest is an acknowledgement of the fact that because God is the shepherd, because God is the creator, we have everything we need. We shall not want. And that's why the shepherd goes on to make you lie down in green pastures, restoring your soul, refreshing those dead parts of you. Rest doesn't deny the existence of hardship or opposition. As a matter of fact, rest affirms that existence. And that's why the shepherd goes on to prepare the table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. Meaning that, yes, the hardship is still going to be there. Yes, the opposition is still going to be there. But because God has already finished doing all of the things that need to be done, there's a table prepared before you. You get to chill even in the middle of all those hardships, even in the middle of all that opposition. That's why in the middle of a storm, on a boat, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus can take a nap. When you take rest seriously, you can affirm the fact that goodness and mercy can follow you all the days of your life, because you will always live where God is at. That's what taking rest seriously looks like. That is the reality of rest. That's the state that God calls us into, the state that God introduces humanity into. That's what Jesus affirms when, even though he's being tortured, he says it is finished. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says that there is a rest that we have been called into, and the day appointed to enter that rest is today. Rest is the fulfillment and the restoration of God's salvific work. And I think it's a morally bankrupt theology, the same theology that was preached on plantations, that says that if we give our souls to Jesus, that when we die, we can experience rest in eternity. When Jesus taught all of his disciples to pray on earth as it is in heaven. And so I believe that we need to take rest as our reward right here and right now, that we need to practice rest, not just one out of every 7 days, but on a regular basis. Rest is our natural state, so we don't get so worn down like this, so we don't end up taking on L's that don't belong to us, that God didn't call us to. Because if we believe that God is our shepherd, if we believe that God has already done the good work necessary for us to enjoy the wholeness of life, then rest is a reward we didn't even have to earn. But it can be our reality anyway. Let me pray with you. Almighty God, who created the world in 6 days and then rested on the seventh, even though you weren't even tired, we thank you for the fact that you have invited us into rest, even when we do get tired. You are the one who invites us to cast our burdens upon you, because your yoke is easy. And so, God, because you are our shepherd, we ask that you would help us to live out our faith in you and the work of your mighty hand by resting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Translation is a production of Three Black Men, the podcast about theology, culture, and the world around us. You can follow us on Twitter at Three Black Men. That's the number three, not spelled out, Black Men. You can find me on all social media platforms at Pastor Trey 05. That's Pastor Trey 05. Don't send me no Facebook request though. Like, I don't be over there. That's the bad place. This work has been made possible by a community of folks who've chosen to show their support through generosity. You can join us at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Spell three out that time, though. patreon.com/threeblackmen. There you can find even more original content from Sam, Rob, and yours truly. Make sure you subscribe to, rate, and review the New Living Translation and Three Black Men wherever you get your podcast. And remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.